Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Take your seats. Praise God. He's worthy. He's worthy. Deacon Crawford said, there is no doubt that he is worthy. It is Palm Sunday, and let us not be guilty of the sin of the crowd who cried Hosanna and didn't mean it. Let us not be guilty of honoring God with our lips while our heart is far from Him. It's good to see you in the house today, because some people didn't make the wake-up list. Palm Sunday is a day where we reflect on the paradox of hypocrisy, where you can say the right thing and still be a hypocrite. It's possible to make a declaration that is true and yet not be pleasing to God. It's actually possible to do things that benefit the body and not yourself be benefited. Palm Sunday exposes the reality that there are many people who follow the Lord while it's popular. And when something else becomes popular, they'll follow that. See, truth is, I really don't know what you believe till it gets hard. With this reality, I would like to continue our focus on our passage just on one verse. Verse 3 on the screen, please. How will we escape if we neglect, push to the side, discredit, disregard so great a salvation? What in the world do you think you're going to get away with if you keep acting as if the Lord didn't do nothing for you? What you think this is going to look like if you keep showing up to church as if God is not good? How many more praise and worship moments are you going to go through lying? How many more times are you going to say hallelujah when you give no praise to God? How many more times will we lift our hands when we have no intention of surrendering? How many more times will we repent when you've already made plans to disobey? Palm Sunday is paradoxical. How do we continue to neglect so great a salvation? What I've actually found is the more honest you are about how wretched you were, the more you want to praise God. If you keep acting like you ain't done nothing, maybe you feel like you ain't got nothing to praise God for. But the more honest you are about just how deep you were sinking. You mess around and get to praising God and you don't need no help. With all your might. However, some of us continue to neglect salvation. I told us last week three areas that we neglect salvation, Danielle Byrd. Number one, we neglect salvation through unbelief. Continue to not believe in God, not believe in yourself. You're neglecting the rescue. Amen. You know, lifeguards are trained to knock you unconscious. Because what happens is when you're drowning, you will panic. And when the lifeguard gets there to save you, you'll mess around and fight your help. So because the lifeguard understands the chaos of trauma, ooh boy, that's a whole sermon. Because the lifeguard understands the chaos of trauma, they don't take it personal when you are fighting them, but instead they render you unable to fight. In other words, you don't know no better. Let me go ahead and take your will away from you. Some of us are in that place. You are fighting your help. So God has you in a situation right now where he is rendering you powerless because you thought you knew something and he had to show you who was boss. Salvation is neglected through unbelief. Number two, salvation is neglected by a desire to return. You want to go back to your old way of life so bad. You will neglect Canaan because you're familiar with Egypt. And then number three, salvation is neglected by failing to embrace the journey. That's where I want to work today on this Palm Sunday. When the Lord rescues you, anybody been rescued? Then he gives you a gift of a new way of life. Romans says, the law of the spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So when God rescues you. He gives you a gift of a new way of life. The problem is sometimes we don't like the new path. It's too narrow. And when he gives you this right to this new way of life, watch this, he actually pays the penalties for your past mistakes. Hold on, Elder Leela, they didn't hear me. So, after all the stupid we did, I'm going to talk to Elder Leela because we honest. After all the stupid that we've done, right, the Lord rescues us. Because some of them apparently ain't been rescued. And he rescues us. And then pays the penalty for all the stupid I did. And then tells me, don't go down that road no more. And I do it anyway. So the question is this, why? Why do we continue to neglect the path? Number one, we neglect the path because it's foreign. Foreign. We neglect the path because it's foreign.
Y'all write that down.
That means this ain't familiar. I don't know what this is like. Write this, please, under point number one. It's gonna get tight in here. A lack of familiarity can produce fear. A lack of familiarity can produce fear. When God starts telling me to do something that I'm not familiar with, I'll mess around and get afraid, not because there's anything on the path for me to be afraid of, but because I'm not familiar. Anybody ever been offered to try some new food? And you're like, A couple weeks ago, I was with Senior. Me and Senior were together. My mom was there. And we took them out and I ordered some sushi. Because Yahweh be praised. And my mom was like, ew. You about to eat that? Ooh. So Senior, I said, Dad, it's delicious. Hand me your plate. Took my chopsticks. I said, I'll fix it up right for you. Handed it to him. He was like, what'd I do with it? I said, just eat the whole thing. He said, oh, you don't bite into it. Just eat the whole thing. I said, Dad, just eat the whole thing. He grabbed it without hesitation. He says, oh, that's good. I said, you want some more? Y'all, that's a whole sermon. Do you trust what is foreign? And if the answer is yes, I have more where that came from. I'll continue to give you good things when you show me that you trust what is foreign. But no, we don't like that. Some of you are missing out on greatness because greatness is not familiar. I think I'll park here for a minute. Hold on. See, when you have a scarcity mindset, a trauma paradigm, a brokenness pattern, health, victory, and even happiness are foreign, which means you'll neglect all good things because everything you've always been through allows you to feel comfortable. You're so excited about how you survive in scarcity, you're pushing back against abundance. You're in love with your brokenness, and your freedom scares you. Don't you keep neglecting your rescue like that. Oh, I'm taking my time. I'm having a good one too. So it's foreign. Here's the other problem with this narrow path. It's narrow. It's narrow. Okay, listen to this. The acceptable deviation on the broad path allows you to live comfortably acting a fool. Okay, well, you got two paths. I'll read this text in a second. Broad and narrow. The broad path is so broad that you can act any way you want and still be accepted. Think about it. On the broad way, you can identify as whatever you want. They missed it, Pastor Josh. See, it's broad. It's all acceptable. I can wake up tomorrow and I can be a mountain lion. Then the next day, I can decide I would prefer to be a bird. Fly like an eagle. Now watch. As crazy as that sounds, it's no different than people waking up tomorrow and deciding they're a bishop. Or deciding you a pastor. It's the same thing. You don't just get to identify as something you're not. But that's on the broad path, and you're able to be whatever you want to be out there. So acceptable deviation becomes comfortable, but on the narrow path, it's narrow. You don't get to identify as things outside of God's will and be accepted. You get checked for that. So I don't like that path because it don't let me be whatever I want to be. Number three, this journey requires faith. The just are supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. And truth be told, some of us in this room have faith issues. And when you have a faith issue, you come face to face with this reality. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So just so you don't think that I'm making stuff up, Matthew 7, verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13 reads, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to what?" Now there's many who enter in it. "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to what?" Now, wait. Start right there. The way is small. I mean, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to what again? I come that you might have. So if we want to get what he came to give us, the broad path will never take you there. Nowhere, I said this Wednesday, nowhere in Matthew 7 does it say that narrow is hard. All it says is narrow is narrow. There's no judgment put on the difficulty. It just says it's narrow. Let me parenthetically add this. Maybe you don't want to be on the narrow path because you don't see your friends there. Great. That felt great. And you'd rather have your circle then have your victory. But let's look at Proverbs 3, and I don't want to read it in ASB. I'm going to put this up in the Amplified. That's Psalm 46. That ain't it. Proverbs 3. It's a good psalm, though. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. We're going to get it up in the Amplified in a minute. I'm going to wait. I want to make sure. There it is. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Clearly, you see that the heart and mind are not the same thing. And do not rely on your own insight or don't you do that. Okay, let's have a family chat for just a minute. How many of us have ever relied on our own insight and understand? How many of y'all wish you hadn't? Hands down. Look at verse 6. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your path. Stop. He'll direct, make it straight, make it plain your path. Wait, say my path. Now, therein lies our problem, Devin, because stop looking over here at my path. Keep your eyes on the road. You're going to cause a crash. My path, your path. They both on the narrow road, but they're not necessarily the same path. Amen. Be careful of misconflating, watch this, being able to follow someone as covering, lead, guide, mentor versus trying to be them in every aspect. When Paul said, follow me, he wasn't telling Timothy to go to jail. He was not telling Timothy to go get lashes. He wasn't telling Timothy to be shipwrecked. He wasn't saying any of that. When Paul said, follow me, he was saying, follow my example. Y'all with me? Be careful when people are trying to clone you while missing the principles that you try to give them. He will direct, make straight, and plain your path. Amen? I'll say one more thing before I go to the next verse that because we often stop at this verse, but I got some more I want to read. You ready? Parents, it is bad parenting for you to want your child to go through what you went through all under the guidelines of you got to learn just like me. You learned. Teach them so they ain't got to go through it. Why in the world? Excuse me. Why in the world? After you done acted a fool in your life, would you sit there, cross your arms and your legs at your children? And go, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. If you see them going the same way, you better snatch their arm out the... I mean, listen, pull them. Sweetie, been there, done that. That's going to get you tore up. verse 7. Ooh. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. It's the entirely, right? You can keep dipping your toe in debauchery if you want to. You're going to mess around, have to get that foot cut off. Amen. And here's, let me say this to mother while I got their attention. Mother, sometimes we're not teaching our children no better because we ain't learned better yet. I can't show you how to get out because I'm still in. So I can't beat you for doing what I did when I'm still doing it. Throwing back shots with your kids. Getting high with your son. Okay, I just, verse 8. It shall be health to your nerves. When I read that in the Amplified, that thing hit me on so many different ways. When you stop trying to do things your way, it'll be health to your nerves. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You stop trying to figure stuff out. Stop trying to pace the floor, talking about how this gonna work. God say, trust in the Lord. It'll be health to your nerves. Talking about how am I gonna make this work? How am I gonna make that work? God's response, trust in the Lord. It'll be health to your nerves. And sinews, and marrow, moistening to your bones, so your bones don't get brittle. y'all miss it. When you read texts like this, you have to look at them contextually in the entire scope of Scripture. Why would Proverbs talk about moistening bones? Because the writer of the Proverbs clearly understood what happens when you're in a valley of dry. Because a dry bone to this audience would have been death. A moistened bone was vitality. If your bones are dry, you're not useful. I'll give you another word. If your bones are dry, you're brittle. That's why you can't accept instruction. And you're brittle. Can't nobody tell you nothing because you're brittle. Now, remember our point. Salvation is neglected when we fail to embrace the journey, this narrow path. And on this Palm Sunday, because it says, how will we escape in our Hebrews text if we continue to neglect this great salvation? Well, on Palm Sunday, I need to show you how this was one of the issues of the triumphal entry. Contextually, Jesus made his arrival on a donkey, and they celebrating. And we come to Matthew 21:12. Put this up. I need to show you this on this Palm Sunday. Matthew 21. Y'all okay? Jesus entered the temple, drove out. Oh, y'all flipping pages. Pages. Paper Bible saved in here. We there? All right. Jesus entered the temple, drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. Stop. Now, Bishop, why bring us here? Because our point. Salvation is neglected when we fail to embrace the journey, when we fail to embrace the narrow path. How will we escape if we continue to neglect the rescue? Here is Jesus coming in contact with people who had neglected the path. These cats here, this here particular church, this pastor and this here branch of Zion had money changers set up in the sanctuary. Now, let me get your context right. These money changers would have been in the outer court. Why? Because they were set up in order to make profit off of people getting the animals they needed on their way to make sacrifice. Y'all missed it. Remember, your sacrifice, if it wasn't too bad, maybe a turtle dove, if it's real bad, a bull. You got me? So what this particular church did is they allowed people to sell the animals, exchange monies for the things outside the church, knowing that people were coming to repent. Sounds like Christian TV. On this Palm Sunday, which takes place on March 24th, for all of you that will give a 324 seed. I just need 50 of you to give a 324 seed. It can be $3.24. It can be $32.40. It can be $324. But I'm telling you, it's a Palm Sunday miracle. It's a Palm Sunday seed. And if you do it, I'm telling you, God is going to bless you. Ta-da! This is people trying to profit off of what's free. Jesus set a path out. And we have individuals who are neglecting that path, neglecting the narrow way, neglecting the rescue. And Jesus comes in contact with those people on his triumphal entry. And he says, I tell you what, get out. He overturning tables, money changers, seats of those who were selling doves. Can y'all imagine that? Put it in your mind's eye, as my father would say. This guy got all these doves in a cage. Maybe he's selling the dove for like 3 denarii a piece, right? 3 denarii a piece. And he got a cage full of doves. And here comes Jesus, knock his cage over, and the doves fly away. And he's like, prophet. He's like, uh-huh. Jesus, boy, that's my guy. This is what happens when you neglect the narrow path and start doing stuff your way. You ask for God to come in your life and turn over your tables. See, look at verse 13. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you are making it, the house of prayer, a robber's den. Jesus's words are this: I am frustrated with your redefinition. I have a path. You've redefined the path, huh? That's neglecting what I gave you. So since I'm here, I gotta put you back. Please understand this. There was a standard set previously and they broke the standard. Radical redefinition is often the mindset of those who do not want to do things God's way. I ain't got to do it like that. Yes, you do. It don't take all of that. Yes, it does. I don't feel like it. And I don't want to pray. What is his house? I'll give you one more step. Let me make it even more personal. Just since there's tension in the room. And I enjoy this. My house shall be a house of prayer. Ain't that what the Bible say? Not this. Now listen, we pray in this house as a byproduct of this house praying. What does Ephesians say? You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So if this house prays, what know ye not that your body is the temple? If this house prays, I have no problem praying in this house. So the issue was this. My house should be a house of prayer. Here's my question to you. Is your house a house of prayer? Or do you just pray in the house? Do you pray? Or do you just pray when you gather? Let's take it a step further. Bishop, I don't understand what this has to do with neglecting salvation. Yes, you do. You just don't want to understand it. See, I neglect salvation by neglecting the path. The path is pray. You don't want to pray. You're neglecting the rescue. If there are five conditions for your healthy release from prison and you don't want to adhere to the five conditions, you're neglecting your release. If one of the conditions for his house is to pray and you're not praying, you're neglecting the condition for your release, which means you want to be bound. And if you want to be bound and you keep showing up where Jesus shows up, what happens is he turns over your tables. Maybe, just maybe, the reason your life looks like it's in chaos is not because you're under demonic attack. It's because you neglected the conditions of your release and then you showed up where Jesus was and you called his flipping of the tables the devil. You in there talking about the devil busy. I'm going through. The devil has got my life turned upside down. The devil like, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I don't have anything to do with this. Your life is turned upside down because you have neglected the conditions of your release. You, watch this. You neglected the conditions of your release and went to church. Ooh. And then said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so the Lord's like, oh, you want to come where I am and think I'm going to keep allowing you to be a fugitive? He's the best bail bondsman there is. You will get caught. How in the world you a fugitive? And many of our churches are harboring known fugitives. And we are continuing to aid and abet in their crimes. This is the reason. Like, we looking around. Why is the church all over? The church ain't all over. Jesus is flipping the tables. The devil is all up in the church. The devil is like, I didn't have to do nothing. Y'all deserve that one. You reap. Some of what we call in the devil is simply discipline. So number one, there's a standard for the house of God. Number two, once the standard is neglected in exchange for doing our own things, the standard will be put back in place. He ain't gonna sit there and allow us just to keep doing what we want to do. You know when your body stops functioning to spec, it's broke. They missed it. When your body stopped doing everything it's supposed to do, by definition, you're sick. It's not functioning to spec. Now, for some of us, your body is not functioning to spec because you're not giving it what it needs. Okay. I'm almost through. I know I'm agitating you. Give me 4 more minutes. Taking them all. I track my sleep seriously. You all right? I track my sleep. I try to make sure I'm resting. And when I wake up in the morning, when I'm looking at my sleep, it gives me a score. Tells me how ready I am. Now, the Bible says he gives his beloved rest. So I wake up in the morning and I'm looking. Hello, Robert. Good morning. I'm looking at my score. Good morning, Robert. You spent more time awake than usual. You had very little deep sleep. It is not optimal. You are not ready. Sitting up there like, well, prophesy. You're not ready. You're awake and you're not ready to function. And sometimes it'll tell me, did you eat close to bedtime? Did you journal your thoughts today? Oh, it's all in my business. It's so rude. And God, for many of us, is saying, listen, your life is topsy-turvy because you're topsy-turvy. My house should be a house of prayer. Let me put one more verse up, and I'm going to be through. Verse 14. The blind, the lame, came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Don't overlook this verse. This is my favorite verse of all of it. Okay, let me go back to my point. Salvation is neglected when we fail to embrace the journey. When we neglect so great a salvation, when we neglect the narrow path, when we are failing to adhere to the conditions of our release, we put God in a position to put us back together again. Why do you like verse 14 so much? I'll tell you why I like verse 14 so much. Because the blind and the lame stayed out the temple as long as the temple was not in order. Jesus cleared it, restated the definition, and then the blind and lame was like, finally, who is still sick, who's still blind, who's still lame, good to see you, Pastor, all because we got things messed up. Maybe you're the blind, maybe you're the lame. And maybe the temple you can't come to is your own life. Don't neglect your rescue by being foul. I want you all in this place to think about, Lord, what area in my life am I neglecting you? What conditions of my release am I not in alignment with? I want you really to think about what he took you from. Now watch, I'm about to say something here, very practical. What lifestyle behaviors were commonplace when you were in sin? And which ones of those behaviors are still commonplace even though you say you're righteous? If you were a serial procrastinator in darkness, then he calls you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You cannot continue to be a serial procrastinator and expect victory. Because what you do is you come over into righteousness, take behaviors, which, watch this, because procrastination is really, I'll give it to you in Bible language, poor stewardship. But what we do is you get saved, redefine it, don't call it what it is, and say, Lord, help my procrastination. He said, no, you need to repent of your procrastination. Okay, listen to me. You'll never get free from anything until you see it the way the Lord sees it. You'll never get free from anything until you see it the way the Lord sees it. So when you keep prettying up your mess before the Lord, trying to make it look real, you know, I'm just so overwhelmed. I just continue to procrastinate, and I've procrastinated since I was a child. And Lord, I just want you to help me to be more diligent and to not procrastinate. He was like, no, you don't see it the way I see it. You, ma'am, you, sir, you are a bad steward. And until that comes out of your mouth, I can't get you free from it. Admit, I am a poor steward of the gift of time. Therefore, I can accomplish your will. And I'm praying for you to give me a shortcut. Because I'm unwilling to admit that I'm off the path. And that I'm lazy. See, y'all notice how, listen, lazy on the broad path sounds fine. Just have you a lazy day. I'll give it to you in biblical language. Sluggard. It sound different, don't it? Then I got Bible for that. Go to the ant thou sluggard. Consider her ways so that your days may be long. Even your rest shouldn't be lazy. Your rest should be intentional. I want you this week. I want you to intentionally pray. I want you to intentionally study. I want you to intentionally laugh. I want you to intentionally experience joy. I also want you to intentionally rest. Huh? Do it on purpose. Don't wait until you're so sick that you say, I gotta lay down. Put rest on your, this, I know, this is a, some spooky deep person right now is like, I see that ain't no preaching. You're a liar, because he gives his beloved rest. And the reason that many leaders right now are committing suicide and walking away from pulpits, because nobody ever told them, schedule sitting down. Go somewhere and say, I love you so much, sit down. Get your favorite cup. Put your favorite coffee in it. Put on your favorite outfit. Put your feet up. Turn on your favorite show. And sit down. Turn your phone off. Because how many more times are you going to neglect the path talking about you busy? You're not busy. You're not organized. All right. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. You're good. You're kind. You're merciful. Allow us to continue to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Clap those hands.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.